Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
It's already been good. I like when it's already been good and we just believe that it can get better. I liked what Adam said. He will meet you at your expectation. Well, I want to thank those that have filled the pulpit in my absence. My wife and I have been gone to Colorado, and we went out to a pastor's conference, and that's where I have been. And I want to tell you that I am so grateful for the little bubble that I live in. When you get outside of these four walls, you're no longer in a bubble. So just look around and appreciate. I was appreciating God's creation when I was up in the mountains of Colorado, and we were there right at the highlight of the aspens, and they had all turned yellow. And so you saw green and yellow and a few oranges, and man, you talk about beautiful. Now, it was beautiful, and then when I got back, I was dreaming about how beautiful that was, and I looked up, and the trees are changing here, and I thought, God, you're no different anywhere I am. You are a great God, and it is just beautiful. Thank you for where I live. You go other places, and you're like, wow, that's pretty. I wish I lived here. And then you just, when you get back, sometimes you recognize how great it is. Speaking of people being back, we have a couple of guests here. Christina, and I'm going to call her Urban. I know her name's Boost, but she's on the back row, and she was Boost. I'm sorry, I say Boost, whatever. Anyway, Christina and her husband are here from down in Arkansas. Christina was the first one we ever sent out to our Applied Life Leaders Academy in Hot Springs, and she graduated from down there, and she's in church with us this morning. Welcome home. We're glad to have you today. So it's kind of neat to have one of our former interns and someone who we had fed into. And here's the other really great thing I'm excited about today. Caleb Warren. Bless your heart. Man. Man of God back in our midst, going out and continuing to serve the Lord as He serves our country. We're grateful for you. You came on a good Sunday. Any Sunday's a good Sunday, but you came on a good one today. You know, I want to get started on what I want to talk about, but before you put my title up, hold on just a second here. The church. Man, I love the church. I can't tell you how grateful I am for the body of Christ. I'm so grateful. And I have lived now long enough that I have watched a shift in culture. And those of you that are my age or older, you probably remember a day and time where the church was more of the center of our community, the more the center of our culture, if you will, than what it is today. And at this minister's conference that I was at in Colorado this last week, the first day that we were sitting there, the head of the conference got up, wonderful man of God, and he said, I want you to know there's a chance that I might be arrested during this conference because we are defying what the state of Colorado has told us we could and couldn't do. And the reason we're defying it, he said, we've met their requirements with masks. We've met their requirements with social distancing. Every other pew was vacant. We've met their requirements, but they are saying that we can only have 175 people here. Well, the square footage of this place is an amazing deal where we were at. And they had it spread out to the best of their ability, but the state of Colorado said that you could only have 175 people here. And so he said, I just wanted you all to know that we are doing that. And he said, it's not what I want to do. It's not what I want to do. It's not, but I've finally felt like the church has been pushed to a point that we have to say, we're not doing that. We're not going to turn people away from the Word of God. We are going to assemble, and we believe we are operating under our First Amendment rights. And you could go to several other places, and we did, in Colorado Springs, in Woodland Park, the different places that we were, and we saw way more people congregated in other areas than what was congregated where we were. And I understood what he was talking about. But yet, they had filed a cease and desist order. They had threatened to arrest. They had threatened to turn away. And they were in court battles all week, the whole week we were there. And I just was amazed when he got up and he said, I want you to know, pastors, that you are free to leave if you don't want to be on television, because they had television cameras. If you don't want to be in the presence of spies, because there are spies right here amongst our... He said, I want you to know that we won't hold that against you. And so I'm making you aware on the front end that you're welcome to leave. And I sat there and I thought, you just made me glue myself to this chair. I'm not going anywhere. In fact, if they have a television crew, may have been wrong thinking, but that's kind of where my mind went, because I thought, I'm in. I'm in. Why? Because I believe in the rights, first, that were given by God, and second, by what our country has given us. There was a day and time that the church defined culture. Now the church in some areas are trying to just stay open in this culture. I've seen it. I've watched it. And I saw it on the front lines this last week. And you know, it wasn't that everyone always followed the teachings of the church. But when they were not doing what the Bible taught or what was being taught at the church, what they taught was right and wrong, they knew when they weren't following that they were in the wrong according to what the Bible taught. See, that was the way it used to be. I'm not saying that everybody followed it, but there was a day and time when they weren't following it, they knew they were wrong. And they were embarrassed to say anything. Now we post it on social media and say, hey, look at me, I'm out. Look at me, here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm wearing on the back of my jersey. Look at me, look at me, look at me. The church defined culture, and now the culture is trying to define the church. And what I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, men and women, people of all ages, somebody's got to stand. I want to call today Culture Effect 2020. And I'm going to be talking about this for the next couple of weeks. And here is the quick way to just explain what I'm going to be talking about, and you got to get it right off of the start, what I'm trying to accomplish over the next few weeks before we have an election. And let me just start by saying this election is not between Biden and Trump. It's between socialism and freedom. That's what it's about. And you have a pastor that's very aware of what's going on in our culture, and I think it's a responsibility of the church to teach it, because you're not going to hear it anywhere else. Culture is going to be affected one way or another. And the only hope for the culture to be affected correctly is for the church to stand up and do something. It's the only way. Or if we don't, here's what's going to happen. The culture is going to affect the church. We've got to decide which route that's going to take. I mean, which way are we going here? See, culture is the customs, art, social institutions, and achievements of a particular nation, people, or social group. So the culture is affected by all of those things. Customs, art, social institutions, achievements. They're all of those things that a particular nation, people, or social group brings on and then makes their norm. The attitudes and the behavior characteristics of a particular people group or nation defines culture. How do you define culture right now? Does culture look like what it does when you walk in these four walls? When you walk out of these four walls and into another social group, are you seeing the same culture that you see in the church? See, there was a day and time where I did. I'd walk out of the four walls, and yeah, there were some little discrepancies between different denominations. But overall, Jesus was still seen as Lord. Now you walk out and you talk about Jesus in any environment outside of the four church walls, you're looked at as a goofball. You can't bring that up. You can't bring that up because that's not the norm and it's not okay. So see, there are people groups. There are people groups that form communities. And we no longer have the church body in the community defining the culture. We have the culture telling the church body what they are going to do. And I'm just telling you, as much as I can, I want to teach in these four walls how we don't leave what's being taught in these four walls and it affects how we operate outside of here. But if we're not careful, there's a slow advance going on. And we've got to be aware of this. And so I've got to talk about this for a few weeks. I mean, right now I've been trying to speak to our leadership about this for the last 2 years, not having a clue what I would see in 2020. But it's been on my heart that this church is weird. And what I mean by weird is different than the norm. Now, I'm not here to put down another church, but what I'm telling you by weird is our location is weird. It's at the end of a road. It makes no sense that all of you people are here. This makes no sense. What is going on here at the end of a road? I can tell you what's going on, a shaping of thinking. Well, that's cultish. You call it whatever you want. We serve Jesus because he's the one shaping our thinking. And I'm just beginning to think that if a church doesn't ever get looked at and thought of as a cult, that's been a scheme, an attempt now to try to remove them from any credibility. Yeah. Used to, I'm like, well, it's not a cult, and I'm trying to define it. You call it whatever you want. You need to know that this church serves Jesus. Yeah. And the Bible is taught here. It's not about one person or one. It's about affecting our minds with the Bible. And here's where I'm at. We're weird. Why are we so weird? Because we are not a part of a community. How many people right here, well, you're a part of the Hurley community. Raise your hand if you're a part of the Hurley community on a day-to-day life. I mean, just you're in the Hurley. One, two, three. We have three families that are in our community. Boy, we've done a horrible job. What about Nixa? Any Nixa? Well, there's a few of you. Look around at me. How many Marionville? There's a few of you. How about Clever? There's a few of you. Springfield? There's a few of you. Willard? There's a few. Who else have I missed? Bodark. Crane. Galena. Billings. Man, we are so messed up. Republic. Should I keep going? Who? Highlandville. Yeah. Is this not weird?
No, it's a good point.
Ask that in just about any church. You don't have that many. I never dreamed when God called this church to operate here that that's what it would look like. But this church isn't affecting one community. My prayer is that affects every one of those communities we just mentioned. This is weird. I've been talking about this, though, and you can ask any leadership here. I've been talking about this for 2 or 3 years. Why? Because, well, let's use a Bible term, for such a time as this. We're in a position right now that we've never been in before, and this vision year at Christian Ministries Church, the vision is create a place. So what we've worked on this year is creating a place that allow you to feel a sense of community when you're in a community that you're not feeling a sense of God. See, you're in a community where I don't know what to do. Well, right now what I can tell you, and as I love this, is when you drive up on this property, do you not feel a sense of community? See, we're not feeling a sense of community, so what we're doing is we're feeling like we're the only ones, and I love that you can come into an isolated, weird place, place that's not normal, and you can walk in here and go, this is not weird at all. I feel like this is my home. I love the church. Are you seeing why I say I love the church? I can't go anywhere that I'm like, I wish I was at church. I go anywhere. Every place I stopped, I'd walk in and like, I just want to feel normal, and then I wish I was at church. Just the only place that I feel like I'm at home. So what happens is I think because of that feeling, we go out and we just kind of like this in a society until we can come to church and then we're like this. Here's my encouragement. We've got to get like this when we're in society. And even though there might be a camera on you, even though someone might be putting you down because you bring up the word of God, because you're living by something different than they are, just go, put the camera on me. Or we like, oh, I just don't even want to say anything. I just slip in and slip out. And see, there's always been people not operating according to the word, but now it's glorified. The difference now is that we have no compass in our culture. And community is defining culture based on social media. What I love is that we have a social media presence and we're doing all that we can with our social media presence to define a different culture. Share everything that the church puts online. Should I? Yes! We've got to start affecting a culture that is trying to affect us. And if we could get them affected in a different way, we would see different results. I want to hear people say, I just long to it. I love God. I love God. I love God. But there's become a difference in people's lives because I do hear people say, well, I love God. I love God. Here's what's happened. People have got to a place where when they say, I love God, it means something different than I love his word. We've got a society saying, I love God, but they're not saying, I love his word, because they're not living by the mandate of the word. They're just living by what they think they're supposed to say, because culture said it's okay to love God, but culture's not saying it's okay to love his word. Well, why aren't they saying that? Because they're going against it every time you turn a corner. Loving God and his loving the word, here's that where they're deceived. John talks very specifically about it, that there's not a separation between God and his word. People are deceived. You can't love God and not love his word. The word is who he is. And we've got this idea that we can separate these two in a culture, and the only reason you have that idea is because you don't know the word. But when you start knowing the word, then you can either choose to love God or not. But the problem is that we get people saved and we don't get them discipled. We're living in a culture outside of the church that's saturated with death and outright lies. It's lie after lie after lie after lie. The church has missed the consequences of what the culture has now defined as normal because they've retreated to four walls. And here is my deal. If there is an attempt to try and counter the outright lies that are going on in our culture, that attempt will bring you under assault. Yeah. See, if you attempt to go against the lie, you are going to put yourself in a position of complete assault. And I watched it in Colorado this week. There was an assault going on against the ministry that we were going to be fed from because of the outright lies of a state. We've gotten so used to being lied to that we don't even see the danger or the deadliness in what is happening. And that is not what I'm going to be okay with, because it's a one lie after another lie after another lie. You turn on the news and it's lie after lie after lie. The church has got to counter the culture and they've got to affect it because the culture is affecting the church. And I just, as far as this body of believers, I'm going to do everything I can in my power as pastor of Christian Ministries Church to counter the effect of the culture, of the culture on the lives of God's people. We've got to be willing to endure hardship and persecution and affliction for righteousness' sake. And we've got to have a willingness to push back against the darkness that you're seeing every day. The people of this present culture are filled with hate. There's a hatred for God, and it's very, very real. There's a hatred for the Bible. There's a hatred for people groups. There's a hatred for our law enforcement. There's a hatred for our races. And there's a hatred for our country. Children are being taught to hate from a very young age, and they're being saturated with the lies that are going to have some real horrible consequences. And it seems there is no opposition going on to what I'm seeing in our culture. The church is being co-opted into following everything that the culture is now defining as right, even though it's in direct violation to God's word. And we've got to do something. See, this can't end well. It just cannot end well. What we're seeing cannot end well. We as the church have got to start bringing the right effect on the culture. We got to bring a celebration of life. We need to bring light into a dark world. And we got to quit bowing our heads and walking in places like we don't have the answer. There's a call on the Christian's life while we're still on this earth to tend what God has put us on here to tend. And we're not tending. I've never been more convinced of how death and darkness would immediately encompass a world if the church was removed. If the church was removed, it'd be just like that. Evil would just come upon evil, and there would, this people group right here and in many other locations that I have visited is starting to be the only place that I see light and right thinking according to the word of God. I don't see it on the news. I don't see it much on social media, and I'm not seeing it when I walk into a culture that I'm supposedly a part of. Here's when I see it. When I'm around God's people, or when I'm out in God's creation looking at the leaves. Am I speaking to anybody? See, I want to make sure that I'm setting this up of what I'm talking about. There is a day coming that the church will be removed. And when that restraint is removed, you've got to know evil will destroy itself. Right now, we are the only hope. Well, God's the only hope. You're God's people. We're the only hope. We're not to be sitting around just waiting for Jesus to come and take us out of here. Oh, Lord, come quickly. I'm not saying don't say that, but we're working to tend what he's asked us to tend. And if we don't bring right actions into a world that's acting wrong and thinking wrong, we've got to be the loving opposition to all the death, hatred, and darkness around us, or we can just watch it all go. I don't want to watch it. When I walk in the room, there's a different attitude. How about you? Well, yeah, Pastor, I wish you'd just walk in with me. We can't all be where each other are. Sundays I like. It's just, let's just set up a bunch of bunks and camp out. That would be cultish. We're to love God, and through our love for him, we're to be a culture of love. Loving God with all our heart, our mind, our strength. We're to love our neighbors, ourselves. We're to teach and train our children in Judeo-Christian values, respect and honor for people, for law enforcement, rule of law, justice for all. It's not wrong to love God. It's not wrong to love everybody. And come on, it's not wrong to love our country. But we've got people, I don't love the United States of America. Well, it's because you're ignorant. Well, that's mean. No. You need to understand. People are attacked and being made fun of for loving the Bible. And when they make their Bible their standard of how to live, they're made fun of. The thing is, we've got such a small backbone, we're not standing up and saying, hold on, go ahead and make fun of me. Watch how I live. Watch how I walk. Watch my faith walk. Watch how I see things different than you're seeing them, because I'm seeing with more than just my flesh, more than just my... See, as I start looking, how's your day going? Good. Have you not been out in this world? Yeah, but I don't operate according to the world. I operate according to the word. Let me tell you about the Bible. And see, if we start operating a little different, there might be a drawing to us. The next thing you know, we're affecting culture. I'm way more excited, but I'm going to get you there. We should not be ashamed of a covenant that our forefathers made with us as a people called the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America. God has dealt with man through covenants throughout history. You got to know this. A covenant is an agreement or a compact that's made between Two people, two things, two man to man, nation to nation, government to people, God to man, a covenant. Now, in the Old Testament, you can look up the Hebrew word for covenant, and it means to cut. Now, as you go to the New Testament, it means that same word in the Greek means testament, which means that both of them have an action associated with it. So a covenant means that we have agreed, nation to nation, nation to tribe, person to person, God to man. We have agreed to live based on both sides coming together, and they've made a pact. They've made a compact. They're on the same page. And here's what I want you to see. A covenant is set up to never be broken. And God is faithful, and he doesn't break his covenant. Here's what I want you to get. God is a vertical covenant between man and him. And know this, that's the one that we stand by regardless of what happens, where you find yourself, what your job does to you, what people do to you. God has already taken care of that because the vertical covenant of what he did and made available to you through Jesus. Now, there was covenants all through Scripture, covenant with Adam, covenant with Noah, covenant with Abraham, his covenant with Israel. All of those are vertical covenants with man on how he relates, how God relates with man, and those will not be broken. His word is true. Now, he betters them. We got a better covenant than there was in the other. And I've taught and taught on that, and so we understand the vertical. But there are also horizontal covenants within humanity that define how we're going to live with each other. They bind us together and they get us in agreement. And as a Christian, they should always be supportive. If we're going to sign up for them, they should always be supportive of the vertical covenant. So any horizontal covenant between man and man, tribe and nation, different things that don't have between God and man, they need to support the vertical covenant that God set up between God and man. It's one of the reasons why I love the United States of America, because our founding forefathers knew this. See, marriage is a horizontal covenant that was outlined in the Bible, and it was honoring first our vertical covenant with God. So we could get an understanding here. Biblically based horizontal covenants need to not be broken, and they need to support our vertical covenant. God gave us dominion and authority. Not going and teaching on all this. I'm just laying some things out. God gave us dominion and authority to self-govern here on earth. Government is ordained by God. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. Then you don't know your word. And I'm glad you're in church this morning, because he has some things to tell you. See, government being ordained by God allows us a horizontal covenant on how we can relate with each other horizontally and still honor him vertically. Government allows us to have a horizontal covenant with each other that will honor our vertical covenant with God. Anytime you see a covenant trying to be broken that will not honor the vertical covenant, you better run from the horizontal. Yeah. I'm not signing up on that one. Yeah. And so what happens in nations that don't have a horizontal covenant? They go in hiding because they're not going to defy their vertical covenant. Any missionary will say, I agree with. So you have to go into hiding. I'm not, because I don't support the horizontal covenant that this government has set up, but I'm not going to deny my vertical covenant with God. But here in the United States, we have a horizontal covenant that was made based on the word of God that was to support our vertical covenant. Do you not see an attack on that right now in our nation? There's an attack. See, it's a godly thing. The nation that honors God is in good position. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The documents that our forefathers set up and described to each of us through the Declaration of Independence and through the Constitution, each of us as American citizens were born into it, and that we were born into a covenant that was set up on how we're going to govern people, and it was based on the word of God. And and it was to exalt a nation through righteousness. All right. If sin is a reproach to any people, let me say it like this. Sin is a reproach to any people group. Some of you might be sitting here going, you know what? This is not a sermon. This is a class. You're right. So deal with it and learn something. I'm going to try at times to kind of excite everybody, motivate, but we've got to do some teaching. There's got to be some understanding because our young people, if they're taught by social media, they're not going to get any of this. The church is the only hope for the next generation. And we've got to do our part in educating them. See, if a people group is motivated by sin, and sin is a reproach to people, and the people are in sin, then it's going to bring reproach and disgrace to your culture, and that culture then starts affecting more and more people. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the people he has chosen as his inheritance. Who would that be? Me. How about you? We have been chosen to have his inheritance. This nation will be blessed when this nation honors God. And we have a covenant contract that enforces God's way of living. That's what's really cool. It's really cool. Yet there are people that are being taught to hate their nation. There are people being taught to reject a covenant contract, the Constitution, a covenant contract where Jesus is asked to be Lord of, and our nation has been birthed into a covenant contract because we set it up that way, and here's how it's to be governed. And if you don't know what the Constitution says and you don't know what the Declaration of Independence says, then you got a problem because then you start getting off. We got to be taught what we're experiencing right now, a militant Marxist revolution. Well, God, I'm just praying for a revolution. You already had one. We are in another one right now, and it's headed the wrong direction. The revolution that already took place put us into a birthright standing, and we were born into it, and we need to understand how important it is to keep it. We got to understand this. See, we're experiencing this Marxist, militant mindset, and it's right in front of our eyes, and I see Christians not even acting like they've seen it. It's very bold, and it's bold to be seen. And we as a people are so hardened and oblivious to sin in so many ways. We're blinded by some demonic powers, and we're unaware of the threat right now to Western civilization. The threat is not only giant for generations to come, but it's giant for the very generation that you and I are living in today. There's an attempt to overthrow our form of government as we know it and replace it with socialism, communism, and Marxism. And it's real. There's an attempt to overthrow capitalism, freedom, the way we know life to be, into something that somehow we've painted a picture, even Christians, that it would be better than what we got. And I understand that because when I run out to Colorado, I think, whoo, I look at the trees, this is better than what I got. And then I start being there for a little while and I think, man, I'm missing the maples trees. They're yellow and green's okay, but I'm telling you, we got a whole plethora of colors here. Well, I like Colorado. Well, you ought to live there. Well, I like communism. Then you ought to live there. There's a couple of countries I'd be happy to help pay your ticket to get there. If you really are going to believe, but what as God's people, we need to understand some things about covenant. And if we can get this, it will help us think different. And my prayer is if you're thinking communism and socialism and Marxism is the next new fun way of life, then hear what I have to say, because I really believe if you get it from a scriptural context, your thinking could be changed. And if I didn't think that, then I wouldn't be going out in society and trying to change what people are thinking. And if we continue to think that nobody's going to listen to what we say, then we might as well put some cots out right here and just live here. But it's real. There's an attempt to overthrow what we know, and it's dangerous and it's deadly. And let me just go one step further. It's the spirit of Antichrist. And the church is not recognizing Antichrist. The church has got to recognize any opponent to Jesus. The church has got to recognize anything that's an opponent to Jesus. We've got to recognize that. Well, who's the church? We are. We are. And we stand against the spirit of Antichrist. Now know this. When you stand against the spirit of Antichrist, you will be attacked. Has anybody been attacked? Come on, I could sit here and ask for testimony. I've got 3 or 4 just this week. I was asked to leave a business. And I was trying to be nice. I can't tell you, as you walk in with the joy of the Lord, how the enemy recognizes that and wants you gone. Don't start acting like you're the enemy. You are the answer. You are not the enemy. Come on, church. He is for you. He is for, boy, doesn't God have a way of just making the whole service make sense? He is for you. You are not the enemy. You are not the, somebody needs to hear that today. You are, do you not feel like when you walk into certain areas of this city, what's this city? Whatever city you, when you walk into certain areas of the culture right now outside of this church, do you not feel like, well, I must be the enemy? And you just walk in with your head down and I don't know what I'm going to do. At some point, we are going to have to make a decision that we are going to stand against Antichrist. And in standing against Antichrist, we walk in. Now, I'm not saying that we come in and we are attacking everybody and ruining what God's called us to do. We've got to learn how to do this with love and change thinking. See, we have entire companies, and sad to say, but we've got 1,600 churches nationwide supporting a militant Marxist movement that has professed in their, let me just throw the name out so there's nobody wondering what I'm talking about. Black Lives Matter, Inc. You better put the ink on there. Because without it, they got a real case. Because I agree. See, all lives matter. And everybody goes, well, that's just a cliche. I get it. But Black Lives Matter, Inc., I have a real problem with. Here's why. We have companies, churches supporting this. We have all types of sports supporting it. And they themselves have professed that they are going to deconstruct the family. You can't have socialism and communism if the family unit is rooted in Judeo-Christian values and principles. You can't have it. See, you got to get rid of father so the government becomes the father. So that's why we've got an LGBTQ plus A, whatever that means, A plus. I don't even know them all. All I know is all of those are demeaning to the father, because if the father's gone, then the government has to take care of you. You got to remove the influence of fathers in order to indoctrinate children to the government, to look to the government to take care of them, to look to the government to equalize all disparity. What socialism and communism promises is that there'll be no despair and there'll be equality and justice for all. Do you never hear that? Yes, you hear it all the time. However, hear this. There's not one example in all of history, in all of the world, that this ideology, idiot ideology, has been able to keep the promise. Every time it fails. Every time. So don't believe the lie. Don't believe it. It's not true. If we could just bring the covenant, the birthright you've been born into and as an American citizen, and do away with it ideology and replace it with socialism and communism, we'd just be one half. Whoa, 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 whoa. You do away with what we've already been born into and you're going to have a lie and it's going to be hell on earth. And you're not going to lie. Oh, I hate it when people say that, because hell's way worse. It's just the first step of the worser, 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 worser. It's a lie. Whom God loves, he corrects and he disciplines. Turn with your Bibles with me. And now I'm going to start my message. Hebrews 12. Actually, you got to be here next week. I knew I wouldn't get anything done today because I'm pumped up about this. And I'm just setting up what we're going to be talking about. But I've got to get this started for next week. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Work at living a work at living in peace with everyone. Please understand this. Don't take from this message that you are to go out and be the rebel in every situation and bring a gun and point it at everybody when they try to tell you what to do. That's not what I'm talking about. In fact, the pastor at the pastor's conference I was at this weekend, for all you that are out there and have a gun in your hip pocket, I would encourage you, leave it there. Even if they come to arrest me, we'll do this, and I'll go with them, and then I'll witness to whoever God puts me with. Yeah. I'm going to be Paul. And that's kind of what was said. So leave your guns in your pocket. Now, if they pull it out and start to shoot you, that's a different thing. But right now, we're going to operate based on what God has called us to operate on, and we have a law that's still in effect in our country. Hebrews 12:14, work at living in peace with everyone. A godly society, a moral society, follows peace. We're to be working at what? Tearing down buildings? Tearing down monuments? Intimidating people who don't agree with us, surround businesses at homes and threaten them, and then throw them in jail because they protected their homes. Work at living in peace with everyone. That's what the Bible says. Work at living in peace with everyone. Verse 15, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. Come on, church, we need this right now. Work that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up in you. It's because it'll trouble you, and it corrupts many. Looking at the landscape of this great country, offense, bitterness, unforgiveness, and hate is being taught. And let me tell you, it's even being taught in the families of the church. Bitterness, offense. I have watched it for 15 or 16 years grab hold of people in the church. Bitterness, unforgiveness, and hate. In God's house, let alone what's going on in the world. Watch that no bitterness grows up to trouble you, because it's a root that will start being what you feed off of. Check out this next passage, verse 16. Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau. What? Why are we bringing Esau into this? Make sure no one is godless or immoral like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. How does Esau tie into this? And I got to finish with this. How is Esau affecting people? He traded his birthright for a single meal. He gave up what had been his by birth for a desire of the flesh for just a temporary gratification. He gave up what was his by birthright. Going on, Hebrews 12:17. You know that afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. We as a nation can cross a point that we can't return to what we had. And we will cry and we will be frustrated. As an American citizen, you were born with a birthright. You didn't earn it. You didn't merit it. You don't deserve it. Just because you were born as an American citizen, it gave you a birthright of freedom, a birthright of liberty, a birthright of the right to life, and a birthright of the pursuit of happiness. Now, we have a generation as immoral and as ungodly as Esau, and they are right now willing to renounce their birthright for a temporary satisfaction of the flesh. That's what we're seeing right now in a society. And it's making me sick, but then it's also motivating me to get up. Yeah. An entire nation, if they don't repent soon, will cry, regret, and lament the day that we renounced our birthright for some perverted sense of justice that our very birthright has ensured under God Almighty. How? We have professional sports players wearing a t-shirt that says BLM Inc. And they get paid more than any country that has professional sports in the whole world. They're more blessed than any player in any country in the whole world. And they're wanting to change their very birthright that has given the opportunity for them to walk in the blessing. Whew. Caleb, thank you. We're appreciative of what you're doing. And for every one of you that has served, is serving, or will serve, thank you. We support you, we honor you, but here's what you got to know. That doesn't exempt us. Right now, the battle has been brought to the home front. And we need to understand our covenants. I got so much more to talk about. Did y'all get anything out of that today? Praise the Lord. Y'all stand with me.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.